One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's why I'm a fucking bitch sometimes.
Why is Harry Styles in the Eternals? Can somebody get him and sit him down somewhere?
The strike better be over. You better come correct.
Justin Bieber set off the Richter scale in Norway. Like, the girls were running. There was it was a stampede.
Hey.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, y'all.
We are back.
Welcome to another episode of Fangirl Central. Where being a fangirl is central to our identity.
Yeah.
Did I say it right?
Yes.
I think that's the first time I've said it right. Thank you all for returning if you're returning, and welcome if this is the first time listening. My name is Amber.
And my name is Amanda, and we are sisters. Yes. A lot of people don't realize that. Even though we have the same initials and same last name and same parents.
And yeah.
But
so that covers it.
This episode. Well, why don't we just get into it? Because so many things have happened this week.
Okay.
Miley Cyrus.
So, okay. Can I say something? We postponed recording this 3 times just because things were busy. And so we've had this on our hearts since the drop date, which was
Thursday night. Like, literally.
Miley Cyrus used to be young. I think I've only listened to the song once without crying. And I've maybe listened to it over 15 times.
Let me tell you how I listened to this song. I went home. I was about to go to sleep on Thursday night. And then I was like, uh-oh. I Used to Be Young is out right now as we speak. And so I pulled out my iPad, watched the music video 3 times in a row. And then I was about to go to sleep and I said, I'm going to watch it 3 more times in a row. And then the next morning when I went to work, I listened to it in the car 3 times in a row. And then I listened to my podcast. And then to wrap up my drive, I listened to it again another 3 times in a row. And there's sort of a pattern here, but I cannot listen to that song once. I have to listen to it at least 3 times in one sitting because I love it so much.
It's so good. It's so beautiful.
It really makes
me think. It's just beautiful.
I have too much to say.
Look at our shirts.
I think we're both wearing Miley shirts. I'm wearing a shirt from her Plastic Hearts era.
And I'm wearing the shirt that we got at the Miley Meets Hannah tour.
The Best of Both Worlds tour.
It's a child size. What does the tag say?
It says youth.
It just looks like a crop top because of my boobs.
It says youth medium, and I have a youth large because we were two years older than her. But I need to say this,
okay?
Because I think that people don't understand that Miley has a long history of like being self-reflexive of her own career,
mm-hmm.
and she started doing it when she was very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
Like her first single as Miley Cyrus on Meet Miley Cyrus was Start All Over. And it was like, I'm going to start all over. Like,
absolutely.
You're meeting me as Miley Cyrus. You're not meeting Hannah Montana yet. She's always been self-reflective. And then I shuffled all of her music. Sometimes I just go on Miley. I go on Apple Music. Yes, I use Apple Music. I go on my Apple Music and I type in Miley Cyrus, your library, and I say shuffle all. And that's what I did on the drive home. And what came up was number one, Golden G String, which I is like that one. Plastic Hearts, and it's the same subject as I used so to be good. Young. It's just like, you know, like that you dared to call me crazy. Have you looked around this place? I should walk away, but I think I'll stay.
I was gonna do the other
part. Yeah, you were the bridge version. But like, wait, it's the same thing. It's like you dared to call me crazy. Yeah. And then also the other one, Younger Now, which is on her that titled album, Younger Now. I feel so much younger now.
Yeah.
Like, and I think even, she's always doing it.
And yeah, definitely 100%. And also I Slide Away. That's reflective. That's not really self-reflective. That's a relationship reflective, but that still counts.
I think it does still count. Because she's talking about, I'm not the same person I used to be. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole point of that song.
Now, I have a question. Did you ever read her book when she was a baby? When she was, like, tiny? Like, her book with the purple cover? I don't know what it was called. Wasn't it a purple
cover? I must have. But
I never read it, but I kind of want to read it now.
I don't really like those books because you can tell that they're not written by them. You know?
Oh, you
like,
think?
Because I read Zac Efron's, and then I read, like...
Zac Efron got a book?
It was, like, a magazine special. It was, like, it looked like a magazine.
No,
but, like,
that doesn't count.
It was a full book, though. Like, it was, like, full of... of writing.
What?
It was like just paper, magazine paper. But like the One Direction books, like they didn't write that shit. Like somebody wrote, somebody interviewed them or like recorded them talking and then wrote it down. But like.
That still is good to me.
I know, but it's just kind of like, it doesn't sound like them to me. It doesn't sound like their authentic voice to me when they're that little, when they're like teenagers.
I don't know what you're really talking about, but I hear you, but. Because
like One Direction
books. Well, no, but listen. The reason I don't know what you're talking about is because I know that it's like not, it doesn't really sound like them, but then to an extent it does because I do think it is someone who's transcribed what they've said.
Right, but it's probably in a little bit more like, a little bit more eloquent than they would say it. Like they can't string sentences together in the way that the book would have you think.
I still want to read it. Like I also, because when I read the One Direction one, I hate how we always get to them. We were not even fucking talking about them.
No, let's table them.
Okay, can I say this though?
Yeah.
When I was reading the One Direction one, I was actively learning things about them.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it's still worth it.
For sure. Like you're learning those fun facts. Mm-hmm. Like that's why I was reading the Zac Efron one. It was to learn fun facts about them.
Yeah. Or not even fun facts, fundamental facts.
But that's when I saw him write shit. In an interview, he said bullshit, and I said, Zac Efron says the word shit, or like he was writing it. So I was like, oh my God, it's so from his own mouth. He curses, and I closed it, and I was so sad that day. I was like 11. I remember it. I was in my room.
That's really bummy.
On the floor, and I was like, oh my God. And I was like, I can't even tell Amber this.
And then
I did tell you.
Did, you did after we watched Hairspray, and I said, he said, kiss my ass.
Right.
But it's in the movie. Like, and I want to say, that was the first comment I had when we walked out of Hairspray. Hey, that movie is about civil rights and body positivity, and the first thing that I said when we left the theater as an 7-year-old, an 8-year-old, I don't even know how old I was.
It was 2007.
Nine?
You were nine.
I said, he said kiss my ass, but it was in the movie, so I really don't think it counts. That's
did
the first thing
the
I
word?
Said.
Though, did you say ass?
No, I couldn't have.
You said ASS.
I must have said he said that he cursed, but it was in the movie. I must have not, like, nah, I couldn't have said that word.
I felt like a mini parent to you sometimes in those moments because I was, like, always trying to make excuses. I was like, it's okay. I know that he curses, but we can still love him.
That's
it's
right.
It's all right.
You said it. Yeah, that's what you said. Like, you were saying it was all right to me, but it was also you were also saying it to yourself. Kind of like, oh, no, kind of like my neighbor Totoro.
Oh yeah, our dynamic is so much like the sisters in My Neighbor Totoro.
I'm gonna lose my mind.
I cry in that movie every time. But Amber had just we didn't even talk about you seeing My Neighbor Totoro for the first time.
Have we
not discuss that? Because My Neighbor Totoro is one of the best movies in the world.
It's so
Hayao Miyazaki is my favorite director. He is my favorite director.
Wow.
And My Neighbor Totoro.
Step aside, Tim Burton.
Whenever I say. Tim Burton hasn't been my favorite director for a
while. In a while, I know. I just thought it was funny.
But whenever I say, like, Amber, you should watch Miyazaki movies, I always start with My Neighbor Totoro, and I always am like, I think it's an excellent movie. And some people are like, it's a kid's movie. It's cute. People will say it's cute. But I'm like, It's devastatingly beautiful.
Devastatingly beautiful.
It's devastatingly, like, it's grounded in reality. It's about a sisterhood. It's about family. It's about their dad, like letting them have their own imagination and believing them when they say that they found some Totoros in the woods and believing them when they are, like, trying to raise a garden up and, like, really just, like, breathing life into their creativity, much like our own father.
I'm going to lose my mind.
And the little sister is, like, so upset that she can't do everything the older
sister's
doing.
She's so frowny.
And the older sister is so upset when she loses her. She loses her mind. She's like, oh my God, where's May? I cannot cry right
Stop.
Now. I'm wearing
Amanda.
Makeup.
Oh my God. No, honestly, it is such our dynamic. And they get on that cat. They get on that cat bus cat and they bus. Want, they go, it's, she goes, take me to May.
Oh.
Somebody sedate me. No, Amanda, honestly. And also she says something. She says something to the child. She's like, you can't do that because you got to grow up. But she's saying it to herself.
Right.
And the baby girl.
Yes.
And it's like, as an older sister, you really had to self-console.
Right, because I was like, look, I also, this happened to me a couple years ago, and this is what you have to do to deal with it. Like, we can't be, it's like, either like, we can't be acting like that now, or like, don't worry, like, you just do this and this and this, and I had to figure it out, and so, like, this is what you can do.
Yeah, which is so crazy.
But, wow, okay. I almost wore my Toto earrings today, but I didn't.
I almost wore my Alice in Wonderland, but I didn't.
I fucking love my neighbor Totoro. Anyway, this is what I wanted to say about I Used to Be Young.
Okay.
So when we're listening to it, she's like, I used to be crazy. Like, you say I used to be wild, I say I used to be young. And like, I didn't, because of our Christian repression, which we're going to keep bringing up, I didn't have, like, I wouldn't say that I've had, like, such a wild youth. Like, I did not party in high school. I didn't, like, smoke weed in college. Like, I didn't do psychedelics until after college. I didn't get into weed until my senior year of college. Like, I partied with alcohol in college, but I, like, never got blackout drunk. Like, I'm not really a crazy partier, even though I love to party. Like, I feel like I'm ramping up into, like, my partying era safely, because I've never been somebody that wants to, like, completely lose control over my bodily functions, but I do love to dance and go out and stuff. So I didn't have the same youth as Miley did in terms of, like, partying. But when I sing that, when I sing, you say I used to be wild, I say I used to be young, I feel that in my bones, in the center of my body, about fangirling, where I'm like,
oh,
like, I know I used to be crazy.
Oh!
Messed up, but God, was it fun. I know I used to be wild. That's because I used to be young. Okay?
Ripping and running through the goddamn streets.
I know I used to be crazy. That's because I used to be young. Okay? Okay? Who else? Who hasn't? Who among us?
Who
among us has not slept on the concrete for 5 seconds of summer? Who among us?
Who's camped out for 10 days? 2 days. I'm sure there's some of you who camped
who
out for 10
camped
days.
Out for 10 days. We haven't done that.
No, we haven't done that, but.
But who has camped out for 24 plus hours to get into the Marvel booth, to get into the Marvel panel at Comic-Con?
Who has gotten whiplash at a 5 Seconds of Summer concert on accident?
Who has chased three members of 5 Seconds of Summer down the streets of Nashville like literal lunatics? Like, I'm sorry.
Like, it looked like the opening of the Jonas Brothers 3D concert.
I thought that I would never like, have that experience in my life.
That was the
because
experience.
The opening of the Jonas Brothers concert is fake.
It's fake.
It's staged. I was like, this doesn't happen, does it?
And it do.
It does. Definitely for One Direction.
And did.
It did for Justin Bieber. And we did it for 5 Seconds of Summer.
Wait, I'm going to say something about Justin Bieber.
Before they were famous here.
I'm going to say something about Justin Bieber and his power, because I don't know if I've said this on the podcast before, but I say
it
a lot.
It on the private episode.
You know what I'm about to say?
Yeah.
Justin Bieber set off the Richter scale in Norway. Like, the girls were running. There were It was a stampede of girls skipping school.
Mm-hmm.
Running through the streets of Norway
for Justin Bieber,
shaking the ground so much that it set off the Richter scale like an earthquake.
Do y'all understand?
For Justin Bieber when he was 15.
Now let that sink in. Okay?
For a 15-year-old Canadian boy
the
with the voice of an angel.
Like, they shook the core of the earth, like the crust.
They were, they made it there like, were so many bodies running to find Justin Bieber that it set off the Richter scale.
And if that's not crazy, then I don't know what is. Okay, like
Does he know,
that type of passion is like, needs to be bottled up, I feel like, in a potion, like an Yzma potion from Emperor's New Groove, because I would like to take that potion to feel that euphoria when I'm down. Like, here's the thing, is that you can pull that feeling and you don't have to let it affect people. Like, you don't have to stalk your favorite celebrity. You don't have to, like, wait outside their hotel room. Like, you can get that feeling from being at their concert or, like, listening to their music. And I really do. Turn on, because y'all, I know I haven't talked about Our Flag Means Death as much as I've talked about Good Omens on this podcast, but it's only because we didn't have the podcast during 2022 when it was out. Because I watched Our Flag Means Death, like, it would, like, be, I would.
Amanda was like, about as crazy as Good Omens with Our
Flag
Means
Death. Like, Esty would come home and I would be like, I watched all of Our Flag Means Death again today. Like, the whole season. Mm. And that happened about, I lost count. I was like, yeah, I've watched it 8 times. Hell yeah, I've watched it 20 times now. I've lost count. I don't know how many times I've seen season 1 of Our Flag Means Death, but it brings me so much joy when I turn it on. Like, I literally, like, it's the same thing I get when I watch David Tennant episodes of Doctor Who. Like, I'm like, this is home. Mm-hmm. This is joy.
That's kind of how I feel about Degrassi. Like, I just know what's going on. I know every corner.
It's
and every
euphoria and not the show. Like, that is, so that is what how I identify with Miley's song. Like, I will be shouting at the top of my lungs. And it kind of, like, makes sense because she's talking about 2013 when she did the We Can't Stop performance on the VMAs.
And
2013
was the day we didn't meet One Direction.
That is the day, this date that the short was set.
Well, 2013 was a wild year. What was that sound? Did you hear that?
I heard that sound. I thought you were going to address it and then you moved right on past it. But it's okay.
But then you start talking and I was like, oh, she heard it too.
But 2013 was also our first Comic-Con. Like, it's like,
2013 ramped it up.
We can reflect back on the last 10 years in the same way that Miley has, the same timeline, and for Miley. Like, I was that crazy for Miley.
Yeah.
When I was like 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. So
I want to say the same thing. I just want to go back to Justin because Amanda, Tiana, and I watched the Never Say Never music video with baby Justin, baby Jaden.
Jaden, so cute.
Tiny little Jaden.
Tiny. He's so tiny.
And then directly after we watched grown Justin, grown Jaden.
And grown Jaden, so hot.
Help, y'all. Performing Never Say Never live from like 2021. So it was 2 years ago, but it's recent enough. It was an insane. Now, I want to say,
Karate Kid was a moment.
If Justin Bieber does an Eras tour, I will camp outside for 10 days.
I said to Amber, if Justin Bieber like headlines Coachella, or like does an Eras tour, whatever, and he brings out Jaden Smith, if we are able to see Justin Bieber perform Never Say Never and he brings out Jaden Smith, this is me. And for the viewers at home, you gotta just go on the YouTube. This is me.
That's her jumping into the already dug grave.
I just did a plank and then fell to the ground. And here's the thing. It's like, these feelings are glorious to have. I love having these feelings. We were screaming Never Say Never at the top of our lungs. We were screaming Jaden Smith's verse at the top of our lungs. And I
ran back and forth, back and forth through my home hallway, which is very short.
She ran
just
back
at the idea of Justin Bieber and Jaden performing that in front of me at this day.
And me and Tiana just sort of kept going.
They just kept on. They really didn't even notice.
And I said, we are the only two people that wouldn't notice that she's been doing that for the last 10 minutes.
I don't know how many laughs I did. It must have been 15.
But literally, like, I know I used to be crazy. That's because I used to be young. Okay.
And you know what?
That's on period.
And you know what? We still are.
Right. Like,
We're still young.
I love how it can come out.
Still a little crazy.
I love how it can come out.
We just grown.
I just, like, Justin Bieber during the 2010s was iconic. Like, it was just like hit after hit after hit after hit after hit after hit from the beginning of his career to like, I would say 2016-ish. I don't know what he's doing actually
I don't know what he's doing. I hope he's doing okay. I hope he's doing well. I don't know what he's up to, but his songs and his music videos, the way that he can dance and his also voice and his cute face, like he has an adorable face, and if you go back and look at like
beautiful
really early Justin Bieber interviews, he is the most adorable innocent looking thing in the world. Like, he has all these manners, he's just a child, he's so goofy, he's just a little goof. And
I know
the people in the industry like kind of like adopted him as a little brother, and I just am so sad for how his life was a little derailed because of the fame, because
I know
he can't go nowhere.
You can tell like which kids like get along with adults, and they're going to be really interesting mm-hmm. adults, and like they have a lot to say, and that's how I feel Justin Bieber was. Like, he was just a kid that like had a lot to say, and like people liked him, and he was just like good at singing.
Really good at singing. His voice, he has the voice of an angel.
He has the voice
he
of an
really
angel.
He really can sing so well.
And he has the
well.
Face of an angel, too, because he's beautiful. And his voice still sounds the same. Like, it doesn't sound like he smokes. I feel like if he smokes a lot, like, you would be able to hear it.
I hope he is okay forever. I love him to death.
I hope he's okay, too.
I want to listen to his voice for the rest of my life. I need to play My World 2.0 today.
It's such a good album. You know, my favorite album is Believe, the one with
Believe.
Believe.
That's with Maria.
Maria and Beauty and the Beat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Believe is my favorite Justin Bieber album. Because like As Long As You Love Me, Beauty and the Beat, like
Boyfriend.
All Around the World. Boyfriend, which I hated when it first came out.
All Around the World had to grow on me.
All Around the World.
You're imperfectly perfect. That's ludicrous. I'm going to be ludicrous for Halloween, I think. I'm going to say it on the podcast so that I have to do it now.
And I would love to be Justin Bieber at the same time if you're going to do that.
Well, that's fine. Capri's trying to figure out how to dress as Nicki Minaj.
Oh my God.
So that we can do My God. Chick Bad.
Oh my God.
And then we can go do Baby.
Right.
And we can just travel as a pack.
I know that I briefly mentioned Our Flag Means Death. The season 2 first look photos came out, and it was the first thing I saw when I opened my eyes. That's not an exaggeration, because I get on my phone as soon as I wake up. It's not healthy, but it was the very first thing I saw when I opened my eyes. When was that? Like 2 days? I don't even know. And I screamed, and I was like, there's no trailer. It's confirmed that it's coming out in October. We're still on it having writer strike and actor strike, so don't nobody can talk about it. I'm literally like, get it together. Get it together, because I need a Good Omen season 3 renewal, and I need a date for Our Flag Means Death, and I need the actors to weigh in what they think, because I want to hear from them. I want to hear from Vico. I want to hear from Samba. I want to hear from Reese. Tyka barely talks about it, but if he has something to say, then I will listen to it. I want to hear David Jenkins talk about it.
Yeah.
I want to hear what they all have to say about this new season, and the strike better be over. You better come correct.
Listen. It's a cold and quiet world without the creatives. Give them what they deserve.
Say that.
Pay them bitches. Please. It's a cold and quiet world without the creatives.
Please. Please. Anyways,
I don't want to talk too much about this next topic, but I do want to say, because of certain members' political views, I do want to say I did start watching Big Time Rush season 1 last week. And
she's seen it.
I've seen it. I just haven't. It's on Netflix, I think.
It's on Paramount Plus, isn't it?
You know what? I don't know, but fuck both of those places. Sorry. Can I take
Can
we say that?
No, yes. Fuck the streaming services. Okay. Unless. Okay.
I was watching Big Time Rush and crying a lot in the first episode, because it's really adorable. They're just friends. There's just some cute little boys from Minnesota who go out, and it's like the most pure little storyline. And I was like watching it, and I was like, this is a show made for kids. This is a kid's show.
Yeah.
This is a wholesome kid's show with kids' jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about in comparison to Dan Schneider shit.
Yeah.
Because that shit is gross watching in the eyes of an adult. Haunting. It is haunting to go back and watch those episodes of what any of the creations, all that, Zoey 101, iCarly.
Drake and Josh, the Amanda
Drake
Show.
Drake and Josh, the Amanda Show.
They're scary, Victorious. Like, they're...
It's gross.
I think it's unsettling. And I think that Sam and Kat is unwatchable.
I really haven't seen, but I would believe that.
I honestly think all of them are unwatchable, but Sam and Kat for sure. Like, for definite.
I'm really, like, I'm confused on how, why he was at the studio long enough to make Henry Danger. Because that was pretty late in life.
Yeah.
And so I'm just like, why did we give him another child? Obviously, we know why.
Well, it's just like, we grew up with these shows, okay? Like, we loved them when we were growing up, but it's just hard to go back and rewatch them
because we didn't know
like,
any
the
better.
Context.
Yeah, and no, the context and like the truth behind all of the allegations.
And the jokes, like the jokes are
gross.
Creepy. The jokes are very, very creepy on all those shows. They're unsettling.
They're
in the eyes of like.
The kids are hypersexualized a lot, which like, I know whatever, a lot of people like make out and are horny in high school and whatever, but like. You can't really require that of children when that's their job. Like, it's just like, it's gross. It's gross. Big Time Rush seems like I don't know what happened on the set, but it seems like there was more reins in the studio.
It just seems like it's more for kids. Like, it's literally like.
The jokes are so stupid.
The jokes
stupid.
Are so funny. And it's like SpongeBob where like the jokes are like. Funny for kids, but if you're a parent and you understand a little bit more, you laugh more.
Yeah,
because it's literally straight up satire of the music industry.
Yeah, it's like it's like that place by the Grove where everybody moves for pilot season.
Yeah, it's like it's kind of like Naked Brothers Band too, in the way that it's like it's literally a satire of famous
Naked Brothers
people.
Band is a piece of art.
It's such a piece of art.
Now Naked Brothers Band is a
now,
good
Naked
ass.
Naked Brothers
watch.
Band is
that
a
shit
piece
is hilarious.
Of art. And people think I'm joking when I'm saying this, and I know that. You might be laughing. Ha ha ha.
That but shit is hilarious.
That shit is like performance art. Like, it is so funny.
It's
go back and watch
funny.
It. It is so satirical. It's high
Do
satire.
Yourself a favor and watch the Country Fair episode.
Oh, please go watch the Country episode and then go watch Fishing for Love.
The Country I'm thinking about the County Fair episode and I'm like, that might have been another queer awakening. When Alex did drag. And I was like still heavily attracted to him. I was like, it don't matter. It don't matter. He 9, I'm 9. Let's do it.
Well, he's beautiful.
He's so pretty.
Like he was so pretty as a girl. And also like no one questioned it. That's also the
thing.
Yeah, like
he was really like out there. Women's
doing
rights
drag.
Up on the stage.
Well, same thing with Cody. I thought Cody was beautiful as a girl.
Me too. And then you can tell that they didn't wipe off the eyeliner enough in the last scene. And I was like, boys and eyeliner are a thing.
But he kind of looked good.
He kind of looked pretty as hell.
What was his name as a girl?
Tyresha, because it was a black child.
Oh my God.
He took the spot of a black girl's. Because she stormed out. She said, I want to go to science camp. And then stormed out.
Oh my God. Tyresha. I can't believe that. What were they thinking? Okay, this little white blonde girl's named Tyresha, sure. And everyone
there is
just-
a transphobic joke in that episode when at the end of the scene, should I say it?
Yeah.
At the end of the episode when Cody, you know, snatches the wig off Zach,
mm-hmm.
The mom is like, Zach, why are you wearing a dress? And he goes, we did it. So that we could win money to buy bikes. And she goes, oh, thank God. Like,
oh,
it's like.
Oh, right.
Like,
right,
it's
right.
Good that he's not wanting, he's not cross-dressing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I feel like when I saw that for the first time, I was like, what, why, thank God? I didn't get it. It went.
I don't think I got it either.
But then I went back and I was like, oh, she's saying thank God because she don't want her child to be queer.
Trans or like cross-dresser.
Right.
And like, okay.
Okay.
All right.
Carrie. When you cut your haircut, you a lesbian, Carrie.
Oh my God.
Oh, but okay. Yes.
No, literally, like the mid-2000s, like they're fucked up. Like they were fucked up in the way of like Dan Schneider, in the way of these transphobic jokes on kids shows. Like, but what was it? There was a trend of like like little boy characters dressing as girls on Naked Brothers Band, Zach and Cody. I feel like there's like one more right around the same time. And I was like, okay. Like, it's cool. Like, I was just like, but I was like, it's kind of like interesting that it's happening so much. Or maybe it was like Victoria Justice dressing as a boy on Zoe 101.
And then she's the man. Oh, that was another one.
Yeah, I thought she was
that
hot.
That was another one.
Sorry, maybe unpopular opinion, but I thought Victoria Justice was the hottest person on Zoe.
I always thought that too. I thought Nicole was really pretty too.
I thought it was Victoria Justice's character because she was like mean. Like she was a bitch to them at first.
She was kooky.
And Dana. And I was like, Dana's really attracted to Dana. But also Logan. I was so attracted to all the mean people, guys. What's wrong with me?
Mean is never cute. It makes me really sad.
Mean is was always cute to
you
me.
Can't be stank. No, I know. I know.
Was obsessed
I'm attracted
to Logan.
I know, same. Like, obviously, same. I was attracted to all the mean characters. I'm just saying. Now.
No, yeah, in real life, if you mean, you stank.
You can't be stank.
You can't be genuinely mean. Like, you can be a bitch. Like, I'm a bitch sometimes, but, like, I'm not being mean. Sometimes
yeah.
I'm being mean, but, like, you know what I mean.
Yeah. It's a balance.
It's a balance. Like, I like a little bitchiness because it gets you through life a little bit, especially as a black, like, female presenting person, like mm-hmm. people do not take me seriously unless I'm being a bitch, which then they're just like, oh, you're an angry black woman. But I'm like, better than angry black woman than you thinking I'm fucking stupid.
Why wouldn't I be angry as a black woman?
Like, I'm just like, who do you think I am? I'm literally like one of the smartest people I know.
Yeah.
So I know what I'm talking about. And I just, it pisses me off when people like assume that I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm not a man. Like, I know, and I don't like ranting about like sexism and patriarchy and like fuck the patriarchy. Like, I'm like, we're so past that. But sometimes I'm like, this is why I'm a bitch. Do you know it?
Right.
This is why I'm a fucking bitch sometimes. Okay.
I also, you know, I just don't like, don't explain shit to me that I did not ask for. Do not talk to me unless spoken to.
Who are you mansplaining
like,
to?
I don't need to know. Didn't ask. Maybe I already knew.
Also, mansplaining is genderless. I've had women mansplain to me.
No, yes. I hate
because
it.
Because they're like adopting like what men do. And
yeah.
I'm like, shut the fuck.
Right.
Shut the fuck
like,
up.
Like, what are you talking about?
Who are you talking
to? I didn't
to?
Ask that question and I already knew that answer.
Exactly.
Anyways.
Moving on.
Anyways, I want to think of the other, do you think it was Lola?
What do you mean?
Do you think Lola was the third person?
Maybe, but I feel like there was another like little boy that dressed as a girl.
I know.
If y'all don't know what we're talking about with Naked Brothers Band, literally look up County Fair. It's such
it's
a good
episode.
It's literally the funniest episode. It's hilarious. I just genuinely don't think that Naked Brothers Band actually gets credit. People are like, oh yeah, like I used to watch
sure
that show. And like, is it Nat or Alex? Like,
I'm pretty sure.
Just watch the show. It's like pretty good.
I think it was Ned's Classified School Survival Guide because I'm now picturing Devin Werkheiser as a woman, as a little girl. I think he was wearing lipstick on that show in an episode. But I can't remember the premise, but I know that he was.
Yeah, I can't remember that show very well. I'll say I did think it was funny, but I also thought it was gross sometimes.
It was gross sometimes. The gross school lunches. I really
yeah,
hated that.
Lunches, I couldn't look at it.
I was like, why
I
is
couldn't
it,
look at it
moving off the plate?
Ah, I couldn't look
and
at it.
And why did you guys do that?
Why'd you show it to me? That's a Raven with Loki kind of gross too sometimes. That cheese.
That cheese in the duck. Why do you have her up there eating that cheese? Wait, you know what?
Oh my God, why did they do that?
The scene from That's Raven just came up on my reels where she goes, wake up Corey and bring him down for school. And then she does it and she goes, yeah. She goes, Corey, time to get up for school or something. He's like screaming and he's like, mama. She goes, mama's trying to relax. And I'm like, this whole, that family is our
family. Is our family.
That was really insane. Mama's trying to relax. Like, and she's like literally rubbing her temples.
She's like, oh, okay.
And then also I love the episode where the mom, the mom and her meet Moesha.
Yes. That
are like
literally
chase her down That is shit. Okay, the way that Raven shit. Didn't tell her mom that she wanted to meet my Maisha, that was so on Raven.
Yeah.
That was so Raven because her mom was like, if you would have damn told me.
Then I would have helped.
Her mom's crazy.
Yeah.
Raven's like, mother is
the
crazy.
Boys in Motion episode, she's literally like doing the dances with Raven. She's just as excited to meet them. That's right. Our mom with 5 Seconds of Summer of the Jonas Brothers.
Yeah. And then they start acting up and she goes, hat in my house. Oh my God.
That was such a strong episode. Because she's also like a teacher and her mom used to be a teacher too.
Yeah.
And so it's like,
oh, the episode
very,
where
like, nurturing, but then it's like switch up on them and you're like, don't do this in my house.
The episode where Raven's mom substituted and she was embarrassed.
Yeah.
That's another thing. I feel like Raven was really embarrassed about her parents. And I'm like, you're a fool, Raven.
She's crazy.
How are you going to be embarrassed about your foolish parents you are a fool? Yeah. I think he was never embarrassed from our mom or dad. Our dad would be screaming in the halls.
Now see,
at football games. And I was like, that is him.
No, see, I was embarrassed by daddy because he was so crazy, but it was because I was insecure about that part of me. Like I hid
and that's probably
the
Raven.
Craziest parts of me.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was doing it, I was like, stop like showing the world who we are.
I kind of feel like I was just as loud as him. So whenever he was in, I was like,
yeah,
there's your explanation
like,
for me.
Daddy, be quiet.
That was
like,
true.
Not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a loud family.
We have a proud family.
But we used to. Honestly, we used to not be a proud family.
No, we didn't.
We used to be loud in our house and then not outside the house.
There was a time period when I got older where I was like, stop hollering in public. But when I was younger, I was like, yes, that's why I'm this way.
Also, mommy she's not as loud as daddy in public, but she will yell on the phone or like sometimes she'll talk louder than.
Mother has no vocal awareness sometimes.
Yeah, she doesn't have any vocal awareness, but now I don't care. Like, I don't care at
all. I don't care either.
I used to be like, mommy, you're screaming.
It's only about certain subjects.
And it's like, I'm like, don't. Parents, like, don't give a fuck. Like, they're like,
no.
What are you talking about? It's like, who cares?
But also, mother is so, she's such a goof because on the phone, she'll be like, this is her saying, like, a number. She'll go, 9013894956. Like she really hits really, the nine.
She's really trying to get them to understand what she's saying.
And then also,
and loudly.
And my friends know this about me. She shouts at drive-thrus and I shout at drive-thrus.
Yeah, yeah. Amber will lean out the window. Like if I'm driving,
I will lean as far as I can to the mic.
Yeah, like she'll lean over me and she'll be like, can I please get a 4 for $4 with a chicken sandwich? And I'm like, Amber, you're screaming in my face. Like they can hear you and I can hear you even louder
the
in
way
my ear.
They always respond, they're like, yes.
They're like, okay.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's J-U-V-E-D-E-R-M DERM.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
So our like main topic of the day is like queerness in fandom stuff, because it's been like booming recently and there's like so many things that we're gonna talk about, like so many different like pieces of media that we're gonna talk about. But I kind of, in order to like transition us into that, I want to discuss this phenomenon that I see with like male interviewers and fans. So like fanboys and then like male like movie interviewers or TV interviewers or whatever, music interviews, any type of like entertainment interviewer will like be so, and then sometimes the actors, sometimes the male actors will be so scandalized and like rude about fan fiction. Like literally they will be so, it's like the rudest thing in the world, and it's so like Christian purity culture, because it's like, so your fans, I've seen the fan art. Have you seen the fan art? Have you heard the fan fiction? If there's something called fan fiction, there's something dirty called fan fiction, and it involves you two having sex. And it's like, they say it as a leading question to be like, oh my God, we're so shocked. And like in the past, like male actors, I feel like have been really weird about it and rude and like dismissing those fans and like being like, those fans are crossing a boundary and those fans are weird. They're perverted. But I say all that to say, like, recently people have been asking Michael Sheen and David Tennant about it. Mm-hmm. And like Michael Sheen literally loves fanfic. He's like so respectful about it. He's like, I think it's beautiful. Like he was on with Graham Norton, I think. I don't know. It might've been something else. I think it was Graham Norton, but he was like, what do you think about all this fan fiction? And he's like, well, I think it's beautiful because I think it means that these people care this much about a piece of media in order to like extend the universe. And like, they care about these characters so much. And it's like, in healthy versions of fandom, it's about the characters, that they look like the actors that play them, but like, it's really about the characters. And like normal fan fiction fans like are against like real people like shipping, like the hardcore Larry stuff, and like, and like, cause it ruins friendships. It distances the people. And I just
can't
just
out people.
I just didn't think that I wrote like a little, I wrote this rant and it's like very short, but I need to say it. I just love Michael Sheen for like not being like this. Men in fandom tend to be very scared by female sexuality. Like, yes, I understand that actors need boundaries around fan fiction and they don't have to read it for their characters. Obviously they can stay out of it. But the way that like most actors and like fanboys discuss it as if all writers are like sexual deviants, and then that's like kind of what we all think about sex in private. It's like shameful. We're taught to like be shameful about our sexual desires and everything, and it's like fanboys think they're superior because they're not attracted to the leads. Like they're like, I love it for the art, and I love it for Spider-Man, I love it for Batman. And I'm like, I said this on the Spider-Man episode, but like, it makes it more fun to be
if you
fucking
like
hot
both
for Andrew Garfield. I'm like, I love this movie
for the art, it's and for cool the story, for
I love
everything.
How he swings around. I love the story, and I love
and
what it means
on top
and
of
the
it,
mythology, and he's hot as fuck.
Right.
So like, it makes it way more enjoyable. Like, it just makes it more fun.
Can I
like,
say something?
I'm just like, it's not, it doesn't make you superior because you don't fall weak at the knees for Chris Evans when you watch Captain America. Like, maybe you do a little bit and you're suppressing it a little bit.
Yeah.
You ever think about that? Look at his pecs.
Yeah. Look at him and his ass. Okay. I want to say something about the fan fiction questions that the interviews are asking.
Right. Because you're an interviewer.
I don't even think you should ask a question framed so much about, like, how do you feel about your fans shipping you sexually. So yeah. Like, I don't even think you need, or like writing sex stories about, right. Like, that's like kind of like it, asking someone in an interview, how do you feel about this type of porn? Like, that's not an interview question. unless you are doing an interview with Pornhub or something. But like, you can't.
No, you're right.
You can't just.
You're right.
You as an interview cannot just cross boundaries just because you have them sat in a chair.
No,
in
no.
a notepad. Like, I think that the question where it's like, what do you think of the art that the fans are making? They take the show and like have their own storylines. What do you think of that?
Right.
That's the question. But to be like, how do you feel about the fans making you fuck in their little stories? Why would you ask someone that?
You can't.
They don't read it because that would be something. That's something kind of like inappropriate for them to do. Like, maybe they want to get off on like reading it, which is their business though. But I don't think that's an interview question.
I would probably read it.
I mean, I was. That's why I was like, I would probably read it.
Who knows what they're doing? The privacy of their own home,
right?
But like,
I wouldn't want to be asked about it in an interview.
And if I was. Oh, I would be so bitchy.
Yeah, I'd be like, what the fuck is wrong with you? I would go Anne Hathaway.
I'd be like, do you read it?
I would go Anne Hathaway. You know how she has that compilation of like her responses, her snickety responses to stupid questions. Like she's like,
yeah, I can't think of any.
There was one about weight where he was asking what her diet was. And she's like, why are you asking so many questions about this? Are you trying to lose weight? What's going on, dude? Do you want to talk? Because he would, it was like three questions after another of like, how did you fit into the suit? What was your workout? What was your diet? All this stuff.
Oh my God.
And she was like, do you need tips? Like, no, stop asking me that.
It's literally like that. You're so right. Because it's like, people produce porn, okay? And people consume porn.
Yes.
That's something that people do.
That's something people do.
So like, to say that like fans are weirder for doing it, is fucked up.
Yeah.
It's like, and all those fanboys, like, they probably watch, like, such actual depraved porn. Like, they probably actually watch depraved porn. So it's like, whoa. So you have a problem
You're
with
mad at
me.
My imagination harming no one.
Literally no actors were harmed in the making of this.
Nothing actually happened. This is fake, dude.
This is in my mind.
Click X.
Like,
you don't have to read it.
I think it's so weird. And I love Michael Sheen for those snapback answers. Cause he did the same thing when he was in Twilight.
Yeah.
And people, and like, cause he's like a serious actor. And I put that in quotes because it's like, you know, he is a serious actor, but it's like, oh, people assume that because he's a serious actor, he's above being in Twilight. So interviewers would ask leading questions. Like, isn't it silly that you're in this like silly little like fantasy movie? And Michael Sheen would deadpan be like, actually, I love sci-fi and fantasy. I think they're both amazing genres. I am so like honored to be in this series. Like my daughter loves it. And one of my favorite authors of all time is Neil Gaiman. And that's how we met Neil Gaiman. And that's how he got into Good Omens. So snaps for Michael Sheen and David Tennant, who both like
Michael Sheen
so,
is
so, like supportive of the fans.
Everything you say about these two, I'm like, this is like really nice. And I just wish that it was more common. Like, can y'all get a grip? And I also, let me just talk about, sorry, fuck streaming services, but I want to talk about Ted Lasso for a second because it's very cautionary tale, like all of their storylines.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that any young boys growing up watching Ted Lasso will learn a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's just all of, like, it's episode after episode, this man is working through this toxic masculinity with his male friends all around. Like, I just think that it's like, if you watch that from a young, a developing age,
yeah,
you'll learn some lessons.
You'll model more empathetic, sensitive behavior, like, as a person socialized, as a boy in this society, like, we just don't value like sensitivity in boys at all. And I do think I haven't seen the last season of Ted Lasso and I was like kind of falling off of it a little bit. And I know a lot of people say that it's too happy and like it's too like idyllic and stuff, but it's
we kind of deserve some happiness.
We kind of need some like something like some model of like
a utopia in a way.
Toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
Because non-toxic masculinity does exist. And I think that is the reason why so many queer people love these characters that sob, these male characters that like sob and are so emotional. And like, we love that they might be so emotional and so comfortable in their sexuality that they might kiss their best friend who's also a man. Like, I saw this. Okay. I'm going to pull up this tweet that I sent Amber and I was so mad about it. Like, it made me so, so, so mad. Tweet is unavailable because the person deleted it. But it was basically like this person who was a lesbian and had like, and was like, it was like a TikTok.
Oh,
and it was like,
this tweet.
Oh, she wants to come over. And then this is my room. And it was like a wall full of like her fandom favorites, and they were all like men. They were all like kind of like queer headcanon men. Like, people like Doctor Who, people like Supernatural, people like I don't know what the actual characters were, but it's like, I'm a lesbian and these are my favorite gay men. And it's like, somebody reposted that and was like, somebody tweeted it and was like, not you being a lesbian and only having men on your wall. And then it was like so many people replying, like agreeing, like, yeah, I can't stand when lesbians do that. Like, is she really a lesbian? Like, she might not be a lesbian. And then somebody retweeted that and said, gay men can have collections of images of pop divas on their walls, but lesbians can't even say a man is handsome without people starting to doubt their sexuality.
Yeah. Can y'all let up on the women?
So being attracted to men is so like inherently natural to you that gay men can still love men and like still love women, and you will not question their attraction to men in the same way that like you will question women's attraction to women because you're just attracted to men. Everyone's attracted to men. How could you be attracted to women? With bisexual men, it's like, obviously he's just gay because he bi doesn't exist. He's just attracted to men.
Right.
Obviously. And then it's like bisexual women, obviously she's just straight because she's not attracted to women. She's obviously attracted to men. It's like, get a grip.
You don't know what's going on in anyone's head. Can you shut up and stop gatekeeping?
Also, we talked about this on the Dylan Adler episode where it's like, This is like how the fandom is for One Direction. It's full of lesbians and like trans and non-binary people and like just queer people in general. It's like chock full of us.
Yeah.
And it's like, why can't we have our pop divas and our favorite men in the same way that gay men can have their favorite? They're like in love with Lady Gaga, but not sexually.
Yeah, and One Direction makes beautiful love songs for lesbians.
Yeah.
Okay, if you listen to or sing any One Direction song as a woman, it's gonna sound like you're singing to a girl.
And it's also,
it like, really is very relatable.
It's also like kind of like that, and it's also kind of like gender envy, which I feel like is sometimes what the gay men are getting out of it too. Like, I feel like a lot of Beyonce stans who are gay men would love to just be rocking like her.
People love to dress like One Direction.
And people in the One Direction fandom, I feel like a lot of it was gender envy for them because they're kind of like soft boys. They're like a version of masculinity that's
have you
not
guys
really
seen
the typical
Louis
version that we
face?
See. Yep, Louis's beautiful.
Louis
Zay's
is
beautiful. Niall's beautiful. Harry's beautiful. And
Liam
is,
looks like a straight man. Liam looks like he takes care of himself as a straight man.
Mm-hmm.
That's how he presents to me.
He used to be more twinkish though.
He got like his
he
perm.
Did, they all
he looked, had his perm for
they
a little
all
bit.
Looked like twinks. I'm just gonna say it. They all looked like twinks.
At a point.
The first time I saw them was on my Tumblr dashboard, and I kept seeing them, and I kept scrolling past them. I was like, okay, One Direction. I'm like, whatever.
Zay.
I kept scrolling past it so fast. The whole time I thought they were a K-pop band. And I was like, One Direction sounds like a K-pop band. There's like, all of them have dark hair and pale skin and one is blonde. Like, it's a K-pop band, probably.
Like,
and then
what?
When I looked closer and you started talking to me about One Direction, I was like, why are you listening to One Direction? Like, I thought it was a K-pop band.
I had fallen down.
This is back in 2012.
Okay?
That's
why I
was
listening to One Direction.
I'm just saying, like, back then it wasn't as popular in America. And so I was like, how did my little sister
locate a K-pop band?
Tumblr, locate a K-pop band? And then she was like, and she's like, we had a whole conversation that was like misunderstanding because I was like, there's ain't no way. And like, how did you find them? And you're like, oh, I just like on YouTube. And I'm like, okay. And this K-pop band? And you're like, Amanda, they're in England.
I remember this. Well, that just plucked a memory. Oh my God, you did.
And I was
I remember being so confused back then too. But also I didn't even hear, the first time I heard What Makes Beautiful was from a cover. It was from a cover from Harrison Webb and someone.
I would be remiss if I didn't say that Justin Bieber also looks like a lesbian. And I don't
Justin
say that
Bieber
to
does look like a lesbian.
Him.
No,
like
he's really pretty.
Like everybody used to oh, be like, yeah, he looks exactly like Ellen and he looks like a lesbian and like I thought he was a girl and blah blah blah.
Justin Bieber has the most beautiful eyelashes.
But all the things that people used to say to insult these boys, like they're gay, they're girly, like, they're not a real man, they're too sensitive. That's everything that made me attracted to them.
Check.
And I imagine, I know lesbians that still love Justin Bieber and they're like confused why they're in love with him. Because he looks like, because he's like, gender's made up,
He real pretty. Because he real pretty. He a real pretty boy. This right here is my swag. They banned that song from seventh grade.
Because it said swag and it was too
black.
I was about to say.
They said, you girls need to stop saying pretty boy swag. Stop singing the nigger songs.
Oh my God. I was about to say it's too niggardly. You can really easily find out what school we went to.
It's an all girls school in the South.
We're from Memphis.
We're from Memphis, Tennessee.
Could
go run to Google.
We've been in our uniforms on stage so many times. Literally, I just feel like I wanted to talk about that double standard, not only as like queer women who love reading / fan fiction for men.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at,
but also like as queer women who like to stan, when I don't even like using that word because I don't stan them, but like you, I will say it for the community, like to stan men that we find like gender fucky, like they don't fit into society's rules of like gender and like are performing a type of gender and sensitivity and like type of person that we don't really see, we didn't really used to see in our normal lives. Like I'll say that I know more people like that now. Like I know like a lot of soft boys. I only like soft boys. I don't really like any boy else. But
I can't think of any straight men.
I'm talking about cis men. I'm talking about cis straight men
that I talk to.
If you're like, usually I like soft boys if you're cis and a man. But anyways, the media, the gay media, that leads us to the gay media that we've been watching. So speaking of like fan fiction and like queer stuff and like being mad at men, there has been an increase of, I would say, pretty good queer representation in media, like representation of queer relationships in like fandom media. Queerness has become, has been becoming more prevalent in media, but like for fandom media, and I feel like fandom shows, like fandom shows are different from other shows. There's been an increase of them recently, and I feel like it just hasn't always been that way. So I want to talk about, we just both recently watched Red, White, and Royal Blue. So I kind of want to talk about it as an intro into this conversation in like the rise in queer media, including like Our Flag Means Death and Good Omens and stuff, and why I have been traumatized by gay media in the past. But
yeah.
What did you think of the movie?
I thought it was very cute. Whatever that man's name is, he's hot as hell. What is his name?
Taylor. I think his name's Taylor.
Taylor is hot as hell. He's got really Perez. Pretty eyelashes. He's got a nice broad chest and back.
He's hot as hell. He's hot
incredibly
as hell.
Hot.
Hot as hell.
So that's
number one.
I also
first
want
things first.
Right. So that's right. And the sex scenes were great.
This just proves how traumatized I've been, because I just like didn't expect them to be, and I know that like, you know, they can always be like, you know, more. Like I feel like maybe straight couples get a little bit more, but I feel like it also was like,
It was intimate. Okay, hand holding was really hot. I was unloading the dishwasher because I needed to clean the house before my dear friend Emma came in town. And I had to freeze and turn the sink off.
Yeah, well I was like, Amber, stop moving around and look at the screen. Look at what's going on the screen.
And then I didn't move. But I thought it was cute. I thought, like, I don't have another adjective. Like, I thought a lot of the interactions they had was, like, classic textbook Wattpad fan fiction cute premise.
Right.
It was, like, cute.
Yeah, like, I feel like it was, like, typical rom-com. And also, like, a better rom-com than I've seen. It's a rom-com that gave me what a rom-com should give me. And I have not seen one of those that has come out recently that is good in a while. Like, I think the movie is like, you know, whatever. I'm not talking about it as like a movie.
Like there's some scenes that could be cut just like storyline wise. Cause you know, I was like, this is slow.
It's a cheesy rom-com. Like, yeah. you get, I think it's great that they can be a cheesy mainstream rom-com with two male leads and it's gay as hell. And people are like,
it's really gay. And it's also kind of, it's a little bit of a political statement because it's about America's president and the royal family in the UK. So it's like the way they handle things, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the way they handle things is kind of like, wouldn't it be nice if that was how things were handled?
Yeah, it's kind of a fantasy. Like, it's really a fantasy. It's really not realistic.
No,
at all.
It would never happen, like, unfortunately.
Like,
but
I just think it's a little bit of a.
It was nice to see. It was nice to be able to watch that happen in a simulation. And that's what escapism.
Yeah, I mean, it's a cheesy rom-com. Like, its job is not to get really into politics. And so to make them, like, perfect. I don't want, like, World War III to be going on in the background of this rom-com. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it doesn't need to not be perfect, if you know what I mean.
No,
like,
I don't need to know all the situations.
Texas is not turning blue right now. Like, it's just not.
Wouldn't happen
right now.
But it was nice to see. It
was so cute. I was rooting for them to get together from the very beginning. It was enemies to lovers,
which, like, is always a fun one.
Enemies to friends to lovers, and it's the best trope.
It's always a fun one.
This movie, the only thing
everyone's just misunderstood.
The only thing I was missing was sharing a bed, like having to share a bed. I wish that there had been a scene like that, because there's a scene like that in
Leap
Year.
They got kind of stuck in the closet.
Yeah, they got stuck. They got mashed together in the closet, but only for like a few minutes. And I loved that scene, but it only scratched the surface. But you know that scene
I loved the New Year's scene. Yeah, I do.
Where they have to share a bed.
That's a fun one.
I love it.
That's a fun one.
I think that's what birthed me loving the sharing a bed trope was that movie.
That's a fun one. But I want to.
The scene at New Year's?
Wait.
The scene in New Year's?
I wanted to say. Oh.
If you haven't seen this, like, skip ahead. We'll put a chapter in.
Yeah, I legitimately was about to be like, I was going to say something and I forgot what I was going to say. And you want to know what the sentence was? I was going to emphasize once again that Taylor is incredibly hot.
He's so hot. It's like kind of like crazy.
It's actually like really insane to look at him. Like, I feel like I'm going crazy.
This movie.
I think someone's playing with their cat upstairs.
Oh my God, that scared the shit out of me.
Say.
There's this, this movie just
kind of turned me on. I'm not going to lie.
What do you mean kinda?
Yeah, that was me. That was me really downplaying the sentence.
That's the point.
It's a hot movie.
It was hot.
It was cute and it was hot.
It was a hot movie. Like, I'm telling you, like, it did what fan fiction is supposed to do. Like, it literally did turn you on.
It had me sitting incredibly still, which is like a lot.
They had so much chemistry. Like, they had so much chemistry. I was rooting for them. Like, this movie reinforced the fact that I am super, super bisexual because I fucking love bisexual men.
I
thought it was so hot that he was kissing girls and guys in the movie. Mm-hmm. Like, I just really liked that.
Yeah.
That fact that it was bisexual representation. Like, what else can I say? I love to see it on screen.
I just want
to
look at him.
And he's hot as hell.
He's
and
like
I think
so
it's
pretty.
Hot that he's bisexual. That's another thing.
It's his eyelashes and his eyebrows.
I mean, I'm attracted to gay men too, but
it's
like,
also
they don't like
his
me,
incredibly
so what, so
broad.
That's what's sad
chest
about that.
And his also broad back, and he's like a large figure, and he's also caring. His character is caring.
Yeah. Now I feel like I'm gonna sound old, and I don't care about sounding old, but like I feel like kids are gonna be like, "What?" But I say all that to say that I could not imagine a movie like this coming out when I was in high school. Like, I literally simply could not have fathomed it.
That would not. What was the gayest movie out when we were in high school?
I know that there were like more queer representations on like HBO and
was it,
like adult things, but I'm talking about mainstream things that kids can watch.
Was it Love, Simon?
I think maybe Love, Simon. Like, Love, Simon blew me out of the water. That's good. Let's work backwards. Because Love, Simon, I was like shocked that that was happening. It was a mainstream queer, like gay teen movie that was coming out in theaters.
I'm not gonna lie, I don't remember Love, Simon very well.
I loved that movie. And a lot of people, again, were like, it was fine. But I'm like,
I don't remember.
Look, it's not like.
I only saw it once, I think.
I don't care that it's like the best movie in the world. I do care that like I love teen movies and I want a gay one.
What I'll say about gay media is, I'm going to talk about Degrassi, alert. I did not like any of the gay couples on Degrassi because they would have one gay main character and then bring in a random gay person.
You didn't
just to give them a love interest. And I always hated the person they brought. I don't even know if I always hated it. Let me talk specifically. Marco and Dylan. Hate Dylan. Hate him. Hate him. Zane and Riley. Don't like Riley. Zane, annoying. Really pretty.
He's so hot.
He's really pretty. Don't like them. Don't need to ever watch their episodes ever again. They annoy the shit out of me. Who else? Who else? Who's gay?
Holly J's friend.
Fiona. I don't know about Fiona. You know, I have a soft spot for Fiona. Her partners didn't like Charlie. Kind of liked Imogen when she had like a personality change. Like, I feel like they just completely started writing her differently in the end. So I kind of liked her at the end.
See, I've seen spurts. I've seen little flashes of Degrassi.
My favorite gay couple on Degrassi was Paige and Alex. And Paige was like,
you really?
A surprising bisexual.
I feel like I didn't like Alex.
You know, Alex is hot. And that might be my bias. But I liked it because Paige was bisexual and she was like figuring that out. And then also,
What did you think about
the way they were friends? Like the way they were friends was, it was kind of an enemies to lover thing.
What did you think about how they like, how they portrayed them compared to the straight couples though?
Oh, let me think. I think it was just very textbook. It was like very like, it was like an ounce better than Glee.
Like, I feel like, because I feel like
it was just like, they're trying to do a gay storyline. Like, and it was just that.
Like, and by that, I feel like a gay storyline is usually like a traumatic coming out story.
Mm-hmm.
The trauma around like everyone bullying you for being gay and like being afraid to come out because you're gay. And then like your first partner, and it's always horrible because like either you can't come out, or either you're closeted or your partner's closeted, and you hold hands and everyone throws shit at you, and like it's just all like traumatic.
They were really traumatic.
It's just like all the gay storylines, especially like Degrassi, especially Lee, like even though it was created by a gay man,
I'm just thinking about
just
Marco
like,
now.
Traumatic.
It is traumatic. It was traumatic for Marco. It was traumatic for Riley. It was traumatic for Zane. It was traumatic for. It was less traumatic for the lesbians. And that's kind of off.
And I know.
That's off because that's just not fair. Because that's just not fair. I think.
What's not fair?
To not, like, I feel like they, I know that it was like really overly traumatic, but it was also the truth. They were trying to show like lessons on gay bashing. And I feel like they didn't really show how like insecure and bullied lesbians can be. They did not really show it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm trying to think, unless I'm forgetting, like, I'm trying to think. Fiona came out and she was embarrassed a little bit, but I don't know. I feel like there could have been more, like,
well, see, here's.
There was no insight. And she just kind of came out.
Here's the thing.
And I think the same. And that's why I like Paige and Alex, because Paige was like, my brother's gay. I guess I'm half gay. Like, it was like kind of like, it was like an interesting. Figuring it out for her. I thought it was interesting to watch as a child.
Lee and Degrassi and stuff showed really traumatizing depictions of being gay, but I feel like those shows are soap operas. Like, like everything on that show
everything
was traumatizing.
And so,
like,
that's why I'm like, the lesbians should have had like a real episode.
Yeah, like,
to show.
Like more, because they also like didn't really, they definitely focused on the gay guys more on Glee too. Like Santana and Brittany, like they would focus on them every now and then, but they didn't get half, like Kurt got like entire season one was him coming out.
Yeah.
And then like entire season two was like him having a crush on Blaine and like falling in love for the first time.
Right.
And like Brittany and Santana had, I would say half of that for each. Like coming out and then like getting their first partner.
Yeah.
Like it just wasn't like focused on, but that's not what I was gonna say. So that's what I said.
Okay, I was the reason why I gasped was because I legitimately could not remember Fiona's storyline, and I just remembered her coming out. Her coming out storyline was that she wanted to date Adam, the first trans character.
Oh yeah.
And so that was traumatic for him because she literally goes, "I like that you're both," and he was like,
"I'm just a guy.
You're gonna have to go."
Yeah,
you've
I remember.
Traumatized.
I remember that. I remember
like
that.
It was horrible.
That
like,
was traumatizing
all the way around. So that was some trauma.
Like, it's not like it helped me coming out. Obviously, like, I didn't even realize I was gay until after like until after college. And so maybe
unfurl my eyebrow thinking about Fiona's entire storyline. Okay. She kissed her brother. She was an alcoholic.
Okay.
She was in an abusive relationship. She was a lesbian. Continue.
I just don't think that if I had not seen those traumatizing storylines, I might not have been scared to be gay. Like, it was just reinforcing.
I get that. 100%.
Like, if you can't, if you're gay,
that
like,
it's best to just
happen.
Be an ally and not actually
gay.
Yes,
in high school when I was being gay on Tumblr, I was like, well, I'm probably bisexual. And so that just means that if I just won't act on it because it's so hard to be gay in society. That's literally what I actively thought.
I had the exact same thought. And so did Kiki Palmer. She said it on Raven's podcast. I was listening to it. She was like,
I heard that.
Yeah. I when she said that, I was like, me too, Kiki. I was like, you know what? It might not be worth it because I can pass.
Yeah. I can pass and I can fit in and I can be this. But like the less I started fitting in, obviously the queerer I became. Mm-hmm. But I'll give Glee...
because it is tiring.
A little bit of a pass because they are traumatizing shows all around. Like every single storyline on Glee was the most traumatizing thing I've ever seen. Like okay. I'll give those a pass. However, I am traumatized because of fandom shows, specifically like Merlin. I'm talking about Super Hulock minus Who because I don't know. Like I never thought anybody was really gay on Doctor Who. I'm only on season 9. I have not seen Jodie's seasons. Don't tell me about anything gay yet.
My shoulder's locked up,
but,
y'all.
But Super Hulock minus Who. So like Supernatural, which I didn't watch, but I saw the fandom being traumatized. Merlin and Sherlock, like. We were all queer baited so hard. And I know that people have been queer baited since Kirk and Spock. Okay. Kirk and Spock was the original queer baiting. Okay. I'm going to skip all the things in between because I am 27 years old.
Can I ask a question first before you do this?
Yes.
When you say queer baiting, do you mean that you think that the writers were writing a lot of gay things intentionally and saying that they were straight? Or do you think
they knew that the fans like shipped the characters, like it was it's you
and
most
so
the
they're putting
baiting,
in crazy lines intentionally.
No. Most queer baiting happens after there's already a huge rabid fan base after like maybe season 1.
Okay,
and so then they start giving into fan service by making them have more gay moments,
right?
Like touching each other more, having more eye contact, sobbing on each other's shoulders, and like literally all the beats that would be in a romantic story, like if you just switch one of their genders to female, they would be in love. Textbook in any other story, like Steve and Bucky. But they are straight. The writers just make them straight.
Why?
They just do it because they know the fans like it, but they would never make them gay.
Now, I have a question, and this isn't for you necessarily, but it's something that I want to know. Why weren't there more gay relationships in Teen Wolf, Jeff? Why were you, as a gay man, queer baiting your fandom, Jeff?
Now, I will defend Jeff, and
defend
I will say,
Jeff. Answer.
I'll say that, like, to me...
Because it's mainstream?
To me, yeah, because of money. At that time, in 2010, in the 2010s, I don't think the network would have let him. Like, he put in a gay character, and that was, like, kind of, like, the only thing he could do.
And he also did talk about... Sorry, Jeff.
This reinforces my thing earlier about fandom shows. There's no gay people in fandom shows. There's gay people in melodramas and soap operas.
Now listen. Because Jeff in interviews was saying that there was no homophobia in the Teen Wolf society.
There doesn't need to be homophobia to not allow somebody to have gay characters though, because they're like, it won't sell. Because it has
no,
not
I
been
know,
proven to
but
sell.
No, my point is like, you did this and then you also just kind of really didn't have any representation.
I just really think, I don't know if he fought for more or what.
Right.
But because we can't know.
He's a human being and he might have been using the Teen Wolf relationships as his own sense of release, like his own way.
I mean, black people will have written, like sometimes like you'll see a black person has written a movie and there's like a lot of white people in it from like the early 2000s. Mm. And that's because that's what the studios would cast. Yeah. And they would let them have one side black character. And you're like, why does this black character sound so authentic? It's because a black person wrote it. So queer baiting. So like, that's a weird epitome that I just had is that I'm sure many people have talked about this, but I haven't really put that much thought into it, is that it made me think about it because the L word, because like you, the only representation of a trans person on the L word is the most traumatic thing in the world. And it kind of like is the same thing in the, in like
in the
straight world. Yeah. Like straight people can have trauma, but it's not so, it's not so traumatic because there's multiple different straight storylines.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like in the L word, there's like multiple different white lesbian storylines. And so like the black lesbian has like extra trauma, and like the trans person has extra trauma. And it's like, this is the only representation we can have because it's a soap opera.
Right.
And so fandom stuff, because it's like mostly mainstream and has huge fandoms, they're like, we don't want to upset the fan base. We can't make anything gay. We can't make anything black. Like, we have to stick to what the fans like. And Marvel and like Disney can't make Stephen Bucky gay, and Merlin can't have Merlin and Arthur kiss, even though they were so fucking in love. It's like so crazy. So Supernatural can't, hey, whatever. I don't know the ships in Supernatural, but like John Locke was in love, Steve Bucky was in love, Murther was in love. And I was so traumatized that by the time I watched Our Flag Means Death and then also Good Omens, I was convinced they were queer baiting me until the end. I was like, this is so explicitly gay. These bitches are about to queer bait me. I'm going to get to the finale and they're not going to kiss. And I will say, unpopular opinion, I've been seeing people being like, I didn't need them to kiss to know that they were in love. You don't have to kiss to know that they're in love. Bitch, I need to see it. Bitch, I need to see the man kiss.
It's good telling.
I need to see those men kiss. Okay? I need to see it. Give it to me.
I have a question.
That's my TED talk.
Did Cora and Asami, is that her name?
Yes, kiss at the end? They did not kiss.
Right, okay, that's what I thought.
They held hands.
They held hands and walked into the sunset. That was really weird to me.
I will also defend Bryke.
Okay.
Because I will say that in 2014, again, it was really difficult to get explicit queer representation in kids' media.
That's so annoying.
Again, with Heartstopper and Red, White, and Blue and Love, Simon. This is why it's so important, because it's so difficult to get it in fandom stuff. Like, I still haven't seen a gay kiss in Marvel. I know there might be one in The Eternals, I think I've heard, but I haven't
why
seen
it. Why is Harry Styles in The Eternals? Can somebody get him and sit him down somewhere?
I haven't seen it, so maybe there's a gay kiss. Let me know.
But I haven't seen it either.
But it's like, it's so hard to get it. It's so much harder to get into fandom stuff and mainstream stuff and kids stuff than it is to get into soap operas, because soap operas are tragedies and we know that gay people are tragic.
One day at a time. That TV show with the Latina family. Mm-hmm. I think they're Puerto Rican. The daughter's gay. And I think it's a pretty wholesome storyline.
That's pretty cool. See, it's just coming back, you know? I mean, not coming back. It's like rising. I just would like it to be more. Like, I liked the fact that Red, White, and Royal Blue exists.
And it doesn't seem, I said this to Amanda after I watched it. I was like, it doesn't seem like a token gay film. Like, it seems like a storyline, a real storyline of like, just a movie, and the main characters are gay.
It's joyful. And also, they reminded me of Crowley and Aziraphale. Sorry.
I want to say once more, Taylor is incredibly hot.
He's so hot. And again, once more, I always love the like dark brooding one. He's not even that dark and brooding.
He's really not dark brooding.
He's dark hair.
Pretty golden retriever energy.
Yeah.
He's incredibly attractive.
I just love Our Flag Means Death and Good Omens because it's my favorite genre. Like, I love fantasy. Like, fantasy is my favorite genre. And I know that Our Flag Means Death isn't a fantasy, but like, for some reason I'm like, it's pirates, so like, it's low-key fantasy. And
it's really gay in What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah, and What We Do in the Shadows, that's another one that it's a Taika it's a Taika universe, and Good Omens, because it's like, it's not like questioned. It's not something that's like, oh, we have to come out, or like, oh, like, and of course, like, Steed is grappling with that, and like Aziraphale is kind of grappling with it in the same metaphorically, because he's so Christian, like he's so like abide by the books, and it's not about being gay, but it is like kind of a metaphor for being gay.
Gay representation in the Fosters.
Oh, is there?
Their mamas are gay. You don't know anything about the Fosters?
No.
They're raised by two lesbian women. One's a cop.
Did you have anything to say about it?
I was just listing another representation. The Fosters has gay mothers, and so that's good, because then the youngest foster child, Jude, he's like a little baby.
I do feel like that's kind of like a melodrama again, though.
I know. There's a lot of trauma in there, but what I'm going to say, though,
it's more for kids, I guess.
It's like a lot of trauma, but all of the gay storylines are met with a lot of, like, it's possible to come out and have people who love you, whether it's chosen family or like
Well, I guess that's also like Schitt's Creek. I was thinking about more
Schitt's
like,
Creek is good.
Schitt's Creek verges on like, because it has a huge fandom, but it's not like what you would typically think is like a type of fandom show, but it does have a huge fandom in the same way that like New Girl does and like The Office.
Oh yeah, Schitt's Creek is kind of like a gay New Girl a little bit.
But it's
I really like the pansexual storyline.
I just like this like trend of like it's like it's not something weird. Like we don't have to address it in something that's a weird thing. Mm-hmm. Like it's something that we can talk about because being queer is being different than being straight.
Yeah.
And we all knew that he was gay. You know? Like David. Like but I like the way that he came out, you know, like and talk about being pansexual. Like it's just stuff that you don't know. It's like the Ted Lasso thing. It's like if you don't know about it, then like you can know about it through media. Obviously representation matters.
Also, Amanda and I bicker like David and Alexis.
We do. I'm David.
Ew, David. Stop.
Wait, do it.
David, look.
Stop.
Stop.
He's so funny. Oh my God. No, but like literally I'm just like so happy about this, the rise in queer representation. And we should have probably recorded this after we saw Bottoms. But
oh, we haven't seen Bottoms yet,
and I'm really excited to
I'm really excited for that one.
I've heard it's lovely. And then and also because all the stuff that we've listed, most of the stuff, like obviously the Fosters isn't, but like I have not seen very much like queer women loving women, like lesbian stuff that I relate to. You know what I mean? Like I have hints of it on the L Word Generation Q, but it's not.
That's why I kind of do like relate not, to the like page.
So
thing.
Much, so many white people, and I just like,
Oh, you mean that way? Yeah, no,
but
she's
I
white
feel
as hell.
Like if I go, but like Shiva Baby, Emma Seligman's first movie, like I was like, oh, this is bisexual chaos if I've ever seen.
Bold
it.
Type.
I haven't seen that.
There's a gay storyline, but oh,
did you relate to it?
Oh, I'm thinking, not really.
Amber, you are so crazy.
Like I'm just like listing just gay storylines.
Bold Type.
Why did Ashton Irwin start a live video while we're recording a podcast? Sorry.
I just love it because I feel like with good omens and our Flag Means Death specifically, it's like the beauty of being a misfit and like there are these outsider safe havens, like Crowley and Aziraphale being with themselves and like Our Flag Means Death being on the pirate ship. Like it's safe havens for people that are different, and that's what queerness is. So
yeah.
That's what I just love about it.
So
but I'm excited to see Bottoms because I think that I will
relate
because it's chaotic. They are chaotic. Yeah.
So
are we.
This episode will be released after the fact, but tonight is our Confessions of a Teenage Drama Queen screening. We're very excited for it because life is a work of art.
You gotta paint it colorful.
You can make it anything you want.
Don't have to stick to any rules.
And you don't need a high IQ to succeed in what you do.
You just gotta have no doubt.
Bitch. Just believe in yourself.
And that's a word.
That's a word.
Word.
That's a word, Miss Lindsay, Miss Lola.
Miss Lindsay, Miss Lilo. Miss Lilo, Miss Lola.
Miss Lilo, Miss Lola.
And okay.
Okay, as usual, keep it chaotic.
That's it.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.